You know, when he came back, he really looked like he had been working. And that's the information we were getting in our little conversations with him during that kind of down period. And when he came back, he was in really good shape. You could tell he had been working drill-wise, weight room-wise. So, you know, real proud of what he's done to this point in the offseason. Continuing it now into the 3 weeks of practice will be important, and then on into the summer break.
Sean McDermott on Bulldog. Ever since he got back from Puerto Rico, you could tell we've been hearing he'd been putting the work in, and you could definitely notice it.
I did put the work in today. I got to tell you, I went.
See,
I went hard. 30 miles
on the bike.
On the bike, yeah. First burst out of the park. I've only been out. It's only been nice enough. This is a dilemma. Exercise outside, play golf. Exercise outside, play golf. When it's nice enough outside to ride my bike outside, I end up wanting to play golf. So days that it has been nice enough to do that, I end up golfing. Today was not one of those days. I got to get out. The ride for Roswell is coming up June 28th.
Coming up.
I got to get going.
1 month and one day.
It's 45 miles, and I did 30 today. So I'll be fine, but I just needed to go grind.
Sure.
So took one of my favorite city rides. Just all around. Good deal.
I should say that McDermott was actually talking about Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't obvious.
Who I guess also did some work.
Apparently. It wasn't obvious who he might have been talking about. Who knows? But it was Keon Coleman, I'm told, that he was talking about there.
It is a best shape of my life season. Although McDermott didn't use that phrasing talking about Coleman. You know, who that heard that and knows who he was talking about, i.e. not me, Keon Coleman, one of the most important guys going into next season, I think, on the team. I'm encouraged to hear that because that was kind of freaked me out in the winter when the season ended and they talked about he and Kincaid the way they did. But it sounds like he took their whatever it was that they wanted him to do, it sounds like he did it, or at least that's what they're saying.
Important is an interesting word for Coleman. Because I don't quite think of him that way. When I think of Coleman and like what happens, I think of it more or almost entirely in the context of the Bills and their drafting. The wide receiver thing is a team building topic. That's the draft and more. And that's what Coleman gets me to. I don't know how important he is. I mean, how good were they last year with him doing, you could say this about any wide receiver on the team, how good were they despite this player, Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, you know, anybody, only doing this, right? So are they in trouble if Keon Coleman shows up this year and gives them the same per-game stats? I wouldn't say they're in trouble, but I would say it doesn't look like a great pick.
Yeah, well, that's almost entirely what I'm referring to. That the pick and the light that Brandon Bean has chosen to shine on it with how he handled himself after the draft, talking about the receiver position. I thought very much so he squarely put a bright light on both Coleman and Kincaid, his last two pass-catching investments, like big investments, first pick of the second round for Coleman, and him saying, I've got enough. I mean, sure, he mentions Josh Palmer and the investment they made there, too. So it's not just the kids, but it's been uneven for both guys, to say the least. I mean, I don't think that's too strong at all. Maybe it's even a little weak to describe how their rookie and second seasons, in the case of Kincaid, went last year. I think if you're going to go on the radio and go in attack mode on people who don't think you've got enough at receiver, the guys you just picked on well, almost Thursday. I mean, Kincaid was a Thursday pick again, one pick later, and there's Coleman. Those guys are, I think, got like a fresh set of sort of expectations on them a little bit. You make a good point. The results might not suffer that much if neither of those things happen, because they had an incredible offensive output year last year without any of that really from either guy. But I just feel like the heat's kind of on. So it's almost more it's important to the conversation about how is that all going. Like you're saying, the narrative around the draft and the picks and the build of that room, that's where I think Coleman's important.
You know, And I, it's just what sometimes tends to happen is we end up talking about receivers and like the big picture. I want to say something like, you know, so there's this split, if you will, in ideology or like people who think they're weak there, people who don't agree or just don't think it matters that much, whatever. And what'll happen this year? A scenario where the Bills are really good again. Everything, this is the point I'm going to make. I can't even wait to say it. Everything is last year again, where there's no dominant figure at that position. Best, closest you come is Shakir and Allen with, for him at least, pretty modest stats, is an MVP candidate and winner. Like, and you get to the playoffs. Part of why I think it's such an interesting debate is that they were as good as they were anyway. And even with that, 13 wins, MVP quarterback, 2 playoff wins, 29 points in the AFC Championship. This is you. You can still go, yeah, I needed one more guy. You can still say it. Mm-hmm. When the season came down to it, they couldn't get that first down. They couldn't score when it was all on the line. And it seems to me super harsh to end up at my offense wasn't good enough after that season.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you had the guy, if Coleman becomes this or what Diggs was, somebody that like, I need this right now, I'm going there. I've got Josh Allen. You can't stop this play. Me and that receiver are unstoppable here. You know, like the very best tandems, like Mahomes and Kelce, you know, the very best tandems in the league forever. And they don't have that. So that's what makes the debate either interesting or maddening, because I guess from there you can come to any conclusion you want. And who's going to say something, right? Like, well, how can you say they didn't have enough on offense? Look at the season. Well, okay, but I am, because instead of investing in a first-round pick, someone else, free agency, a trade, no, I'm loading up on the defensive line, and we'll see what happens. So we've got a long time. It won't even be, I mean, unless it goes really badly, it won't even be settled at all in the regular season.
No.
It'll all wait until the playoffs, and they might win 2 more games, and they might score 30 points again, and then you could still go, yeah, well, I still say, I still maintain, Your Honor, that I needed this one more piece. I guess that's what makes it, again, either fun or to make you crazy, this some debates in sports. This is one of them.
Yeah, because I don't think that you should expect, I mean, and nobody, I don't think, is saying that. The Bills certainly aren't saying that. They're expecting the same ride, right? The same trip around the sun here is to be expected. Everything is not going to go the same way. And the good fortune, you can emphasize it all you want. You can practice different skills to help you get the ball loose. I'm getting to takeaways here. The incredible fortune that they had with the number that they took themselves, that they got themselves, you know, fumble recoveries and interceptions, along with how few they turned it over, how few times they turned it over themselves, is a good place to start, I think, for, well, can I get by with what I had last year again? Because that's a big factor. That is field position. That is possession of the ball. And it leans so hard your way that to just expect it, again, however much you want to emphasize it and think you've got some secret sauce or something, I'm not saying there isn't something that they're doing that gives them an edge. I don't happen to know what it is, but you can emphasize it. It doesn't mean it's going to roll your way. And it really, really did. And that is the first thing I'm thinking about when I hear the GM of the team talking about all the points they scored and how productive they were and how I don't have a problem. Like, well, are you sure? Like, are you sure there's enough there if the other team keeps punting it to you? Like, say you stop them instead of taking it away at midfield or whatever. And, you know, you every drive is, you know, or enough of your drives are now requiring another 25 to 30 yards. That is something that could change everything for what you accomplished on offense. And that's where, you know, the idea of not needing another guy, I think, can be called into question.
Bills had 32 takeaways last year, 16 fumbles and 16 interceptions. I mean, third in the league total, first in the league in fumble recoveries. And they had 8 turnovers, which was the fewest in the NFL. 2 fumbles lost all year. How about that? 6 interceptions. And, you know, there's definitely an effort toward that. That it's always both. It's always some luck, but also, like, clearly they wanted to reduce that number. And Allen played accordingly, and it's ironic that he won the MVP in a year, or maybe not, because interceptions have worked against him in terms of his reputation, but as, you know, maybe they should. But still, like, playing more conservatively, they had pretty gross numbers when it came to downfield passes, you know, hit rates and things like that. But still, they won all those games. And he wins the award. 8 turnovers to 32 takeaways, the right. Bills last year.
They put the ball on the ground combined between pass catchers and runners 19 times. 6 receivers were dinged for a fumble and 13 ball carriers. Not 13 different, but, like, you know, a couple more than one.
And they lost 2.
Right.
Out of 19?
Wait a second now. Where is this total?
Uh-oh.
The total under fumbles on my page here says 13, but I'm counting them up. I've got 1 for Cook, 1 for Allen, 1 for Trubisky. What is that? That's 3. How is 13 that number? I'm pretty confused. I'm sorry. I don't trust the information I'm looking at right now anymore.
You're so, ESPN then.
Yes. I'm a little shook.
I mean, have we ever been more certain of anything?
No.
At Pro Football Reference, there's fumbles lost, and then there's, you know, fumbles, period. And Cook only put the ball on the ground, as you put it, 1 time.
Okay.
All year. Allen was 5. I have 9 for that. Allen 5, Cook 1, oh, Shakir 1.
You know what it is?
Kincaid and Trubisky.
It's Allen as a runner versus Allen. I'm guessing that's the distinction. Because he only has 1 listed there for himself on this page, and that's clearly not right. Anyway.
1 lost.
But, yeah, no, I'm saying totals because they have 2 separate columns here.
Okay.
Anyway, the ball was on the ground frequently enough to have lost more than they lost is the point.
Yep.
Okay, whether
especially
it's
the playoffs.
However many it is. It's not always going to roll your way, right? The middle there is probably where you're most likely going to live. And even that is, you know, that's like double the amount of turnovers they had all year if they lose half of those fumbles.
What about it? What was it in the Ravens and the Chiefs games combined or even the playoffs overall? There were 6 or 8 fumbles that they recovered all of?
Yeah, I don't.
Something like that?
I don't have the box for that open right now. So
we'll take a break. Sal coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR.